Well, there you have it. Officially done with the first competitive Grand Fondo for me. How did I do? Well, by the pure numbers, terribly. But how do I feel about it? Well, let's talk about that, shall we? Hi there. I'm just another John Q. Public on a bike, a Joshua Q. cyclist, if you will. Get it? See, that's where the JQC is? It's clever. A little bit. I'm not a pro. I'm not an expert. Heck, I'm not even a bike mechanic. So why am I sitting here talking to you about cycling and the journey I set myself on? I'm one of who knows how many out there who love to ride their bike, go fast, and want to challenge themselves on the bike, but aren't racers. There's no team, fancy bus, bunch of trainers, mechanics, big budgets, sponsors, any of that. Just someone who gets that thrill of freedom on the bike and wants to challenge themselves to something new. So yeah, for my age group, I was near the bottom. I wasn't the last person, but not that far away from it. And for the overall, I did a little better, but only marginally, being at the bottom 20%. I haven't done the math to see if the percentages match between my placement for my age group and my overall placement. So we'll just go with, I did a little better overall. I like how that sounds. So it's approximately a 12.5-hour drive, closer to 14 when you take into account stops and stuff like that. To do a bike ride where you finished near the bottom, was it worth it? Well, hell yeah. I challenged myself this year to something I knew would be difficult. I knew it would be very hard. And if you remember, my goal was to see how close I could get to qualifying. It wasn't actually qualifying that I was aiming for. Although, I would have been overly stoked to do so, but really it's to see how far I could get. So how do you truly know where you stand, not just within yourself and your own capabilities, and where you are with others, until you venture out and try something new, jumping headfirst into it? This first ride was meant to primarily establish a baseline as to where my current fitness and capabilities are. I've never attempted something like this, and I didn't know what to expect. Sure, I read the materials and watched the videos, so I knew the logistics of what to expect, but I didn't know how things would feel and how I would perform. You don't know until you try, right? The weather for the day was just perfect. There wasn't much of a wind, and the temperature stayed in a nice, comfortable range. For a good part of the ride, it was overcast, but even when the sun came out, it wasn't oppressive. That said, apparently my sunscreen needed to be replaced before this ride because it didn't do me any favors and I kind of got cooked. Let this be a PSA for all. Check your sunscreen before going out. Anyway, the way I viewed the course was in 8 chunks, 4 timed sections and 4 rest stops. These rest stops were about halfway-ish between the timed sections, so it wasn't like you crossed the line and then did a couple minutes down the road before rolling into a shaded area to sip on pickle juice and Gatorade. I like having markers to aim for. I mean, who doesn't do that on their bike rides? You think you want to stop and pause for a bit, but maybe after finishing that corner or, you know, I know there's a building a little bit further down the road, so we'll stop after that. These little mental markers help us push ourselves that little bit more. So it was time. We were at the morning of the ride and there was nothing left to do but get kitted up, get to the start line, queue up that playlist, and wait for the 3, 2, 1, go! Time to swing the leg of the bike and take that journey. Not just through the winding roads of a bike race, but through the nerves, worry, excitement, and yeah, still a little bemusement that I was actually doing this. The anticipation building at the start line, the adrenaline coursing through my veins, the sheer excitement of what lies ahead. They were having people do staggered starts, a group of about 20 or so riders launching at a time. The beginning of the course puts people on a bike trail, and that would help prevent traffic jam on the trail. I was on the bike, left foot clipped in, and ready to go.
3.
Okay, this will be great. It'll be just like the bike MS rides, but with fun sections spread throughout.
2.
Wow, look at all these really, really nice bikes, and everybody looks like they're ready for a full-on road race. Am I ready?
1.
This isn't a mistake, right? Just remember, pace yourself. Don't blow up getting too excited in the build-up in the first time section.
Go!
I hope I'm ready for this. Alas, as the race unfolded, it quickly became apparent that my performance wasn't on the same level as my fellow cyclists. Pedal stroke after pedal stroke, I found myself struggling to keep up with the pack. Yeah, I could have pushed it harder to catch up and then enjoy the draft for a bit, but something kept echoing in my head. They're down the road, and yeah, while you can see them and you can catch up to them, you'll burn too many matches to get to there. And once you get there, will you be able to maintain that pace that they've already set, or you just burn more matches away and leave you wasted for later in the day when you still have like 30 miles to go? I came to the conclusion that maybe I'd just catch up to them after the time section, when they surely will be sitting up to recover on their way to the next stage. So I let them go and kept turning the pedals at my own pace. The first time section wasn't too bad. It was 5 miles, and we had the luxury of starting after enjoying a descent. Approaching the line, I got my gearing all dialed in, was ready to cross those lines and give it a good push. I kept my bike computer on the directions screen instead of all my metrics. I wanted to concentrate on the distance traveled instead of the speed and average speed of the ride. I knew that if I focused on those numbers, I would lose that commitment to pacing myself properly, that I would care more about the average speed number over how I was feeling. 5 miles can be long distance, and it can be a short distance. I was pedaling along, not knowing what was ahead of me. I could have switched to the profile view on my computer to see if I had climbs or descents, but I didn't. Not on this segment, at least. 3 miles to go, 2.5 miles to go, whew, halfway. You can do it. There's only 1 mile to go. I just kept talking and encouraging myself to keep pushing and driving on through. I felt like I did a decent job on that segment. I knew I wasn't near the fastest, but I think I did at least average. Looking at the final numbers, I was 277 out of 429 for that first section. I'll take that. What surprised me was that I didn't just sit up and coast. I had a good pace going, and while I didn't keep digging in, I shifted to get back to that cadence I'm comfortable with, you know, low 80s. And I was able to maintain about 90% or so of that speed without feeling like I was overworking myself. After some time, I hit the first rest stop, and I was able to top off my bottles and grab a banana. I was listening to some of the other riders reminisce about previous years when the weather was not so cooperative. Hearing the stories and seeing the different jerseys, I had the even greater sense that I found myself a beginner amongst a peloton of experienced competitive riders. Yeah, I was out of my element, but that was the whole point, right? To put myself in a new and, yes, uncomfortable situation, to see and learn what I could do. It was time to hit the road again and keep making that forward progress. That second time section was, dare I say, pleasant, like the first one. The 5 miles were ticking by at a good rate, and I was feeling good about my performance. This section was about 0.5 mile shorter than the first one, but I was happy with my pace. Heck, I was even a little faster than the first segment. After that second segment, I was cruising along and caught up to a group of riders and stayed in that pack until we hit the rest stop. That was a good time. It was nice to enjoy a little draft from about 8 other riders and not feel like I was in no man's land, like I had been for most of the course up to that point. The third segment, though, this is one I didn't like and didn't do so well on. This segment had more climbing on it, at least that's what it felt like. Looking at the course after the fact, it was very comparable to the second segment and less climbing than the first segment. Despite all that, my legs just weren't pushing out the watts that they were previously. This is where the real fatigue starts to set in and the intense mental game begins. Everything feels steeper and harder to cross. Everything just felt, well, more. As the miles passed by, I knew my position in the race slipped further and further back. Each hill seeming steeper, and each competitor more distant. Frustration threatened to consume me as I watched others effortlessly glide past me, leaving me in their dust. So one of the disadvantages of doing rides like this on your own is that you don't get the benefit of drafting with a group. This isn't to say that you can't link up with groups while on the road. I did that a few times over the course of the ride. What I'm saying is that when you have a group of people you're familiar with, there's a chance that you're all in the same athletic level, or at least you know where everyone is with their capabilities. Pace lines with people you know work better because you know what pace to set that everyone will be able to work with. And these lines certainly make those timed sections better. It's almost like you're doing a team time trial when you're having a good time going along. Being the one out in no man's land means you're having to work even harder to get that speed up. Yes, that means I need to break out of my shell a little more at these and try to connect with some riders and enjoy those drafting benefits. So when I'm out there on my own, pushing through the timed segments, I recognize the desire to be riding with others to get that speed up a little more and fewer watts being pushed through the pedals. I know that had I been in some groups, my results would be better. I can't always rely on being able to find and stay with a group, but I won't use that as an excuse for not finishing as quickly as others. I made it through the segment and coasted a little more after this one than I did the previous. I needed to catch my breath and give my legs a rest. This was the first time I started to really pay attention to how far away the rest stop was. Yeah, I can find a piece of shade at any point, pull over and take a moment, but in my head, you really only do that at the rest stops. So I kept turning those pedals over to make it to the stop. The fourth time section was a fun one, mainly because it was shorter than the others. I felt good on this segment despite not being as fast as the others. It's a great example of how a positive mental approach can ease the pain. Looking down and seeing it was only about 3 miles instantly meant that I'd be done with this one sooner than the other three segments. 3 miles, that's nothing. I've been doing almost twice that in all the other areas. This'll be nice, short, and sweet. Look at that. Already halfway there, no problem. These positive talks with yourself will carry you through and help you feel as though you're flying down the road, regardless of how fast you're actually going. Even though there was struggle and disappointment, there were moments of clarity and enlightenment. As I fought to keep pushing forward, I began to realize the true essence of perseverance and resilience. It wasn't about winning or losing, but rather about the journey itself and the lessons it had to offer. Above all, this was my baseline ride. This was the ride that I needed to complete in order to take stock of where I was physically and mentally, where I was with my pacing, my nutrition, my endurance, and yeah, how I keep talking to myself to keep going. That mental part is the hardest bit of all. When your legs are starting to feel tired or you're pedaling with all you have and you don't feel like you're going as fast as you could be, that's where the mental game really starts to creep in. That self-doubt can take hold and turn a tough situation into a miserable one. To paraphrase, cycling is 90% mental and the other half is physical. With each passing mile, I learned to embrace the fact that I wasn't flying past others in order to silence the voice of doubt and to focus on the present moment. I embraced the importance of pacing myself and listening to my body and finding my own rhythm, despite that competitive voice trying to convince me that if I just keep pushing harder, I could find a group to catch up to and then everything will be easy. As I pedaled my way through the course, each setback became a stepping stone, each obstacle a chance to learn. I studied the other riders, watched how they were doing things, and grabbed some insights that I could apply to my own riding style. Like I said earlier, I discovered the importance of perseverance and resilience, of never giving up, even when the odds seemed insurmountable. And as I crossed the finish line, far from the podium and the accolades, I couldn't help but feel a sense of pride and accomplishment. For in that moment, I knew that I had given it my all, and that I had pushed myself beyond my regular limits, and that I had emerged victorious. No, not victorious with the podium finish, but victorious in the sense that I accomplished what I set out to do with this ride. Entering a competition in a domain where you're a newcomer can be a daunting experience, to measure yourself against those who have honed their skills for years. But it's essential to remind yourself of a fundamental truth. Greatness isn't achieved overnight. It's a journey marked by dedication, perseverance, and countless hours of hard work. In the face of seasoned competitors, it's crucial to maintain a realistic perspective. Respect that they have put in the time and effort to reach their current level of athleticism. They've faced their own setbacks and challenges along the way. They, too, used each one another as an opportunity to learn and grow. Comparing myself to them at this early stage of my journey is not only unfair, but also counterproductive. It's important to remember to focus on your own progress and development. Embrace the learning curve as an integral part of your journey towards mastery. Understand that every stumble, every setback, is a chance to refine your skills and deepen your understanding of the craft. Celebrate those small victories along the way, no matter how insignificant they may seem in the grand scheme of things. Remember, even the most accomplished athletes started as novices. It's through that perseverance and a willingness to push beyond their comfort zones that they achieved greatness. So I need to remember to be kind to myself and recognize that I'm embarking on a path that requires patience and resilience. With time, dedication, and unwavering determination, I'll inch closer to those goals, one step at a time. So yes, while my performance may not have been stellar, the lessons I learned on that ride were invaluable. I was able to experience the true meaning of, and you're probably tired of hearing me say it, perseverance and resilience. And for that, I'm grateful. With that under my belt, I can now look ahead to the next Fondo and what that involves. I need to work on my endurance, my speed, and my climbing. You know, the simple things. I think my pacing, nutrition, and hydration are fairly well set, with some minor tweaks, of course. To do that, I'm going to try and dial in a good exercise plan from Wahoo Sufferfest. But you know what? I think that needs to wait until the next episode. Thanks for joining me at this cafe stop to listen, and let's continue this soon.